Something I said yesterday really got to me. Yeah, I listen to my own talks and I hear things and it's like I'm a third party looking at my own thing and I'm hearing stuff and it hits me all over again. And then when I hear it, I want to amplify it. First, I have to think about it and try to understand what is being said in this amazing passage. I think I've said to you recently that Colossians 3, 1 through 4, is one of the most amazing verses in all of Paul's letters. And yesterday, I emphasized the line, "For you died." You died. This is mind-boggling truth. Think about it. Just think of hearing that from an inspired word of God. I mean, you died. This is the end of all striving. This isn't even the part I want to emphasize today, but you died is the, it is the most hardcore way to say that all striving has ended. All attempts to please God have ended. All possibility of being ruined, of screwing up your salvation, have ended. There's no possibility. You died. It's like the thing is sealed. It's like if you have a life insurance policy and you die, what happens when you die? Your beneficiaries get your life insurance policy. They get a lot of money, depending on how much money your insurance policy is worth. Well, we died, and we have an insurance policy called Jesus Christ. We are the beneficiaries of everything He has. And we have been considered to have died with Him, and now everything He has is ours. The problem is we're still living in the flesh. That's the problem. This is why Paul says later, this is a parallel verse, 2 Corinthians 5, we from now on, 5:16, are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Why? Because you died. Yes, I am tying in Colossians 3:3 with 2 Corinthians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we are acquainted with no one according to flesh. No one. That includes yourself. Not acquainted. Do you feel like a stranger in your own body? Do you feel like a stranger on your own planet? Your home? This is your home planet. Are you a stranger here? Two reasons. You're not supposed to consider yourself according to flesh. That's not really a reason. The reason is you died. That's the reason. The result of that, for people who are still alive, I died. And Paul gets into this, and I'm going to go here probably tomorrow. It's Galatians 2:20. It's a parallel passage. I don't have that written down here. I thought I did. I'm pretty sure it's Galatians 2:20. I died, yet living in me is Christ. Yeah, well, I'm going to get to that. That is it's a deeper dive into this. But the reality is you died, and the practical effect of people who are still alive is that we are no longer considering ourselves according to flesh. Because what this now is, now this thing we see according to flesh, it's almost like it's a mirage. It's almost like it's phantom pain. You know when somebody gets their hand cut off or their leg cut off and it still hurts? Yeah, my wife's grandfather had this. He had his foot took off for diabetes or something. I might be talking about the wrong guy. I don't know who I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. It's a common phenomenon for people who are amputees. You get a limb cut off and you still feel pain in the thing. That thing hurts and you reach down to scratch it. There's nothing there. Your hand goes right through it. It's a phenomenon that the brain has been wired for so long to feel that limb, to feel that weight, to know where that is, that it actually still, it hasn't caught up with the reality, right? The brain has literally not caught up with the reality that the limb is no longer there. So it's still feeling pain. It's like delayed messages. It's like it's having a post-traumatic stress reaction or something. I don't even know if that makes sense, but there's nothing there. Likewise, our old humanity has been dealt a death blow by Jesus Christ. And now Paul says, you died. It's like you have been cut off from this world. You've been cut off from your own life. But the problem is, we're still living. So our brains, as presently constituted, can't catch up with this truth. In Paul, the truth is way ahead of the reality. I mean, the truth is reality. Let me say this for you. The truth is way ahead of our earthly experience. I guess you could call that reality. But I like to think of this. You died. And this, no longer to consider ourselves according to flesh, as reality. Oh, I just thought of something. Colossians 3:3. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. This is a figure of speech called prolepsis, which, whereas God is calling what is not as though it were. He says that in verse 1. Same thing. If then you were roused together with Christ. I was? Past tense. That says right here. You were roused together with Christ. What? I'm in my car in Fort Lauderdale in an alley. No, it's prolepsis. It's a figure of speech. And so is your life is hid together with Christ in God. But remember, prolepsis is God's way of putting you right into something, telling you that it's so sure. It's so sure to happen that it can't not happen. And it's so much can't not happen that we're going to talk about it and mention it as though it has happened. That's proleptic. But 2 Corinthians 5:16 is not proleptic. This is practical advice for today, so that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Acquainted with no one. I don't want you to be acquainted with yourself. That's why it always blows my mind when people try to point out my flaws. Of course I have them, you have them, but they want to make a trophy out of sin. And they want to point that out. And it's like, I really have to shake my head and try to get into that mode. Okay, you want to talk about sin? It's like, blah, 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 blah. I got to get into that mode. Hang on a second, because I'm not used to thinking of myself in accord with flesh. Not used to it. It's freedom. It's deliverance to not have to think about yourself that way. That's the practical exhortation. That's not proleptic. That's now. You're supposed to do that now. That's real. That's real. Because it's the phantom limb pain. That's a great analogy. It's that we're still feeling things that aren't there. We're still living a lot of the times in the old humanity. But it's a you died deal, okay? And your life is hid. This is a part I wanted to get to today. And I haven't even got there yet. Because every time I turn on this camera and I'm talking to you, things occur to me. And things start firing off. And I'm seeing things in this word of God, because we're together, because I know you're out there and you inspire me, and I am excited about these things because you are too, and we're the only people that are. I mean, there's very few people are interested in this stuff. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. That is also proleptic, but hid. I really was thinking about this last night after I made that video, and you can't even find it. But the fact that it, your life, think about it, your life. What life is he talking about here, Paul? He has to be talking about the new humanity. The new humanity is hid. Your life is hid together with Christ and God. The old humanity. See, we think of our old humanity as our life. This is my life. It's my life. I gotta live it, you know. But this is not your true life. This is a shadow. This is you're experiencing phantom limb pain. And you're getting all upset over something that died. But your life is hid together. That's your real life. That's your spiritual self. And it's just as real. It's more real. In fact, it's the reality. It's more real than this thing we're still in. I'm not going to say this is not real. I'm not teaching some crazy Eastern mysticism where you pretend something is when it's really not. This is a figure of speech. It's figure of speech. Common figure of speech. Prolepsis. We exist. Yes, this is real. My face is real. My hands are real. You're real. My failings are real. I'm a sinner. Yes, 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 yes. Okay? Don't want to make any buddy, think the wrong thing about me. Zender says we don't sin anymore. Zender says we're not real. No, we have a body and we're living a life. But Paul, and I always knew this about Paul. I always suspected this about Paul. He is Mr. Radical. He's stating things so forward and so profound that he's stating them as real. You were roused together with Christ. You died. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. This has to be the new humanity life. But what is cool about that is Paul's saying your life. That's in dark face type. Your life. Dark face type. Look at this. Colossians 3:3. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. We each have a specific life. And it is like done. It is so known by God, our spiritual life. And we barely see it. We barely even are aware of it. We just have faith that it exists. Well, here's evidence that it exists in the mind of God. Your life, your actual spiritual life in all its fullness, all the richness, all the glory that you're going to come into, your role in the next life, your role among the celestials, it's sealed. It's known. It's filed. God has it, and it's hid. But it's hid. It's hid even from you. But Paul's telling us that it's there. It's proleptic, but yet that's how God looks at it. And it's so real that it's so going to happen that it's stated as though it presently is. Your life is hid. Well, you know what? Wait a minute. Maybe it's not proleptic. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. I'm just thinking, what if this is not proleptic? Your life is hid. It could be. I mean, if you are roused together with Christ, okay, that's definitely proleptic. That's verse 1 of Colossians 3. But this business here, your life is hid together with Christ again. That might actually be. I don't know. I'm not sure. But in any case, whether it's proleptic or whether it's actually our spiritual life, our new humanity, the new man, like Paul, went to the third heaven, right? I believe the man saw himself completed. And I believe he saw the body of Christ completed. That's what he saw in the third heaven, according to Zender. He saw it finished. He might have been looking at himself. Kind of like Michael Fox in Back to the Future. Remember that one, I forget which one it was, but and back in the future, his self in the past goes into the future. He sees his future self, or maybe his future self sees his past self. But your life, your next life, is hid together with Christ and God. It's hid so well that you can't even see it. But it's so real that Paul states it as real. It's either actually or proleptic. Either way, doesn't make much difference, really. Either way, it means that we have every right to now not consider ourselves according to flesh any longer. Because when we do, when we consider ourselves according to flesh today, we are scratching a limb that isn't there. We're beating a horse that's dead. Our next life is so real that Paul calls it hid. How can you hide something that doesn't exist? It's hid with Christ in God. And the rest of that verse reads, so whenever Christ, our life, shall be manifested, then we shall be manifested together with him in glory. That's the next step. What we're struggling with now is a realization of this truth, a recognition of how real it is, to the point that we're not even to consider ourselves according to flesh anymore. The next step is walking into it. Rising with Christ, walking into that reality that apparently is now, even now, hid with Christ in God and being glorified in it.